Blog Talk Radio.
God, fill me up, God.
Amen, 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 and amen. Praise God, everybody, on this beautiful Tuesday evening. Amen. It is a pleasure to come before the people of God and give them a right now word for the end times that we're living in. We are living in very dangerous times. That's why we need the fire of God to help us to endure, push forward, to stand when everything else has failed. We need the fire of God to help us to produce what God says that we can produce. No production equals no growth. So we're going to go into prayer right now. I can feel the hearts of the people today on the phone. And I hear a sound in my spirit where the people, they are looking for a fresh word from God. So today, the Holy Spirit will speak and Delilah will decease. Amen. She will decrease and the Holy Spirit will speak. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for how you're going to move among your people today on this line. Father God, we know that there is nothing too hard for you to do. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to drop a fresh word tonight in your people's spirit. And that you're going to consume them with your holy fire. And those very things that have been hindering them, those very things that have been torturing their minds, just as well as their body, their soul, and their spirit. Oh, tonight the fresh word will do a fresh work in them. Father God, we thank you for the apostolic right now. We thank you for the holiness, the mandate. We thank you for the charge. We thank you for your command. We thank you, God, that you're going to cause the anointing to pour down on our heads like fresh oil running down on the heads of your people. Father God, we come to cast our cares upon you. For we know that you care for us. But sometimes we go through so much stuff in life. Things that come to distract us and throw us off. Things that come to defeat us. Things that come to mock our ministry. Things that come to dismantle us from our relationship with you. Father God, we come to you in a place that is called, we need your help. We've been trying to do things on our own, and we've been making a fool out of everything that we touch. We've been going by the things that we see. We've been bothered by the emotions that have been aroused within our soul. Help our souls to prosper on tonight, God. Because you said in your word, you wish that we all may prosper. You don't want none of us to be stagnated. Procrastination, no elevation. Just standing in a period of just dryness, drought, loneliness, feeling desert and neglected. That is not who you are on tonight, God. So, God, on tonight, I'm asking you, according to your spirit, be it done unto your people. Be it done unto me. That the very heart that is heavy tonight, that they will take on your yoke. They will learn of you on tonight. And they won't learn things that's going to cause their spirit to be weighed down, bottled down, going through the same old emotions, create cycles. And ungodly behaviors. Let us recognize that we have allowed the fire of you to die out of our lives. So this is my petition on tonight. That the people of God will rekindle their relationship with you. And they may not have a church home. But remind your people that they are the church. And whatever place that you so desire for them to go, you lead them. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, the topic tonight, you know, God really been dealing with me, concerning me, about Stop Quenching the Fire of God, part two. And it's a very, very, very powerful, powerful subject that will never die. And I stand guilty on tonight, saints. I didn't come to make myself look like I am always on fire. The devil is a liar right there in that area. And just as well as the Word of God has been chastising me and showing me, He wants to show you too. Amen. Because we need the enduring fire of God, even unto the day of judgment. Even until the day of judgment, that we will all stand before God. God, which is the righteous judge, He's very fair at what He do. Sometimes we as human beings, we become very carnal because we feel like God's favor ain't fair. But the devil is a liar. God's favor is fair because He's given all of us space enough to come before Him and repent on a daily basis. Repenting to God is the instrument that initiates the fire of God to grow in your walk of endurance and perseverance. Punctuality, standing for righteousness' sake, not for self-righteousness, but standing for the righteousness of God in this hour. Standing for what God requires of us. It comes with instructions and directions. There are many people on tonight and in this world, they're standing, but they are standing in the outer court. They're not standing in the inner court. They're trying to look at God from their own point of view, from man-made monuments, false imaginations, of how they're trying to put in their head how God should be represented. How God should be represented. And you know what? Many of us, we have allowed this spiritual imprisonment to dominate our true identity of who God wants to really bring forth in this earth realm. As it is in heaven, and so shall it be in the earth. I hope you caught that, people of God. Because God, He created us. Yes. Before we was even into existence. What I'm saying to you on tonight is that we serve a mighty God that see way beforehand, saw everything that you was going to go through. Before it even manifested, But there are some things that you went through because it was a God thing, and there were some things that you went through that was not of God. So tonight we're going to come from the book of St. Matthew, the 25th chapter, and the foundational scripture is 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, and the 19th verse. And it's talking about the body of Christ, the 10 virgins. In the natural, so we know that a virgin means that a woman that has not been touched by a man, just as well as a man that have not been touched by a woman. That's what virgins are. They're saving themselves for the right husband and the right wife. So I was reading it today because it just really, really, really helped me see myself just as God wants us to see ourselves through his eyes. Some of y'all are seeing yourself the wrong way, and this has been a struggle to your ministry, and this has been a stagnation to your growth, your spiritual growth. Mm-hmm. That place where God is supposed to be, you have stagnated the fire of God in your life, in your walk, just as well as in your ministries. You have caused a spiritual stagnation because of, it can be the wrong ministry that you're in. You've been at that church 5 years, still sitting on a pew. After 3 years, you're supposed to be out there in that field working for the Lord, that the Lord has assigned you to be an evangelist, pastor, however God has dispersed you in the spirit for you to walk in those mantles and the mandate. But because you fear what people would say, you choose to sit there on the bench and quench the fire of God. And you want to call forth overflow and blessings? I hear God say, no, no, no. It's not going to happen until you do what he's saying. So St. Matthew's the 25th chapter in the first verse. And it says, at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise. 5 of them were foolish. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, that means anyhow, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy. They started feeling sleepy. That's the natural man. But also in the spirit also. At midnight, the cry was made, here's the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. Then all the virgins arose, trembled their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out. No, they replied. They looked at them like they were crazy. I would have too. There may not be enough for both of us. And you, instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who was ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. Sir, sir, they said, open the door for us. He replied, I tell you, the truth. I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. In these times and days that we're living in, saints, we have to take the things of God so serious. And what I mean by that we have to treasure the things of God. But there are so many of us, we don't have the oil of God in our life because we have allowed different things to come about. And I'm talking about the foolish versions now. We have allowed different things to come between us and God. We have allowed money, people, places, and things. And most of all, we have allowed ourselves. God has given us free will. That means freedom to make the right choices. But then Proverbs say, in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Now, it's easy to quote the scripture because it's easy to quote it. But it's hard to live it and walk it out when your time of testing comes. We have so many foolish versions in the body of Christ that is operating in a false anointing. There was a time when they was on fire for the Lord, because as I read the passage, the Spirit of the Lord just makes that plain. There was a time when they was really connected to God. There was a time when they had that passion. There was a time when they had that burning. There was a time when they had that desire. They had that connection or want to be intimate with the Almighty God. They were thirsty and hungry for righteousness' sake. They didn't care less what people said or how people felt or what people was going to do unto them. At one point of time. But what happened in the midst? They began to look at the cares of this life. They began to allow the python to choke the very Spirit of God out of their inner soul. They begin to listen to religious chatter, religious rituals. They begin to become drowsy, the spirit of procrastination, yawning, become lazy. Saying, I won't pray tonight. I won't seek God tonight, but I'll seek God in the morning. And when the morning time comes, you can't even seek God because you're too busy yawning or you have sleep. That's how you know that the fire is gone. Oh, God, Rabashi. When a husband and a wife come together, and I'm talking about husbands and wives that God has put together, because what God brings together, it was already ordained before the foundation of the world. So when God bring a husband and a wife together, he put a passion and a desire in them for one another, not for different mates. Oh, I felt something right there. I'm talking about the husband and wife that God brings together. He put a strong intimacy in them. Everything good, he saw it, and he spoke it into existence. His likeness and his image, God's way. And when God brought them together, there was no more two, but they became one because they had the same spirit. And in order to keep a fire burning in a marriage, you have to do what it takes. So I'm getting ready right now to go where God wants me to go. Come on, saints, let's go for a walk down the love lane. I'm talking to ordained married couples, because every marriage is not honored by the Spirit of God. There are some people that are getting married for the wrong reason. But I'm talking about God-ordained marriages that God has ordained. You're with your husband. You don't get off from work. Okay, you work 5 days a week. He worked 5 days a week. Amen. Both of you are tired when you get home. You're tired from a long day of work, whether you run your own business or whether you work for somebody else. But however, you're working. It's the weekend here. Both of y'all are off. Your husband wants to be with you, but you've been putting it off for a good 3 to 4 months, or even a year, because you're just so tired. But you can go run, and you can go get your nails done. Oh, yes. You can go get your hair done. You can go get your body wrap. Huh? You can go do everything else. You can go hang out with your so-called girlfriends or your real girlfriends. You go hang out with them. And here it is, your husband. He has become frustrated and he has become irritated because you refuse to take some time to be with him. And vice versa for the husband. Next thing you know, you have built up enough of nerves to go sleep in the second bedroom. Talk about you need some space. You feel crowded. You feel crowded. You just need some me time. There's no me. There's we. Turn that M upside down, and what you got is we. And so now you're making your spouse feel like they are not worth your time. And this is the way people do God. They do God the same way. And so now you feel like you're holding the key to their emotions, which you are. You're working witchcraft against your own marriage, the man that God sent you, the woman that God sent you. You're putting out your own passion. You're putting out your own desire. Because what he feels, you feel. But you decide through your own intellect, through your own emotional pattern, that this is what you need right now at this moment. Is to not to be intimate with your wife or your husband. It was this old song called "The Thrill Is Gone." The thrill is gone. How did a thrill get away? Who let the thrill out? That is the spirit of perversion right there. Because any time that you allow you, yourself, and you to distort, to twist the original plans of what God planned it, you are working in the spirit of perversion and witchcraft. You are quenching the fire of God in every aspect of your life. Your intimate life with your husband, that is a very powerful ministry. It's just not about the bumping and the grinding. Hey, somebody, hear what God is saying. It's more deeper than the bumping and the grinding. It's more deeper than the bumping and the humping. Saints, tonight and from this day forward, we're going to do it like God say do it. The fire of God is the Holy Spirit of God, which represent the oil of God. They all are one. Okay? We're not going to let the enemy confuse you on that. And all of these instruments, they work to perfect that which concern is us. Amen. It purifies us, body, soul, and spirit. The Word of God works in each threefold of us, body, soul, and spirit. What's manifesting out of your spirit is manifesting through your flesh. And that is the way that a lot of us have been operating, quenching the things of God. When you don't be intimate with the Spirit of God on a daily basis, you are becoming low on oil. Those foolish virgins, they had the time to get it right. And when they was up there sleeping, they should have been sleeping. They should have been seeking God. And I'm talking about a spiritual sleep also. A spirit of laziness and procrastination. When you should be chasing after God, because that's what God wants. That's what you call crucial intimacy. You longing for God like nothing here on this earth. That is a beautiful thing when a man can long for his wife and his wife only. That is a beautiful thing when a woman can long for her husband only. And if you have stopped longing for each other, that is because you allowed sin to creep in. You open up your door. Your spirit is like a door. You open up your window. Your spirit is like a window for these things to transpire in your home. And you did the same thing to God. So what there is saying, there is a stronghold in the midst. There is some dysfunctional behavior that is taking place in the midst. And there are so many ways that you can quench the fire of God. And that's a dangerous place to be, because the Bible says that it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. That means that he is a consuming fire. What would it take for God to allow something to happen in your life for you to do your first works all back over again? What would it take for us? The fire God has an instrument that is called mature. And it goes on matureness, which is the word perfection, perfectionist. It will cause us to endure, and it will cause us to devour every work that is not of God's spirit. The fire of God will burn everything from the root. God always starts at the root. So when he starts at the root, it can't grow back. We pray for the fire of God. We pray for the glory of God. We pray for the anointing. We pray for the power. But when you're not doing what you're supposed to do on regular basis, you have become a foolish virgin. We have become a foolish virgin. Amen. We're going to go on break, but I want to say this. We got Prophetess Chantel Renee Coleman. Amen. She's going to elaborate on this subject also. Because this woman of God, she understands the meaning of stop quenching the fire of God. and how God wants to move among his people. And on the day of Pentecost, they was all on one accord. So they was ready for the fire of God. God's not going to release his fire and you ain't ready. You got a swine spirit still. Come on, saints. You want to pray for overflow. You want to pray for this. You want to pray for that. But you ain't been doing what you're supposed to be doing. That's why you don't see none. That's why you don't see no effectiveness, no results. The fire of God always bring effectiveness. The prayers of the fervent prayers of the righteous avail as much. Why? Because it's a burning prayer. It's a Holy Ghost prayer. It ain't no fly by night. These are people that stay before God. That's why you were people in the Bible days, the Andalusian world. They was able to go where God wanted them to go because they understood the real true meaning of worship and praise. You can't understand what has not been put in you. No longer will we be on the outside looking in. So we're going to go on break, praise God, and then we're going to have Prophetess Chantel Coleman, amen, to let God have his way in her life because we need God's fire. There's no way around it. We will not be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, saints.
Come on.
Amen. God is amazing, and he's amazing all by himself. He don't have a mother and a father, but he'll be a mother and father to us that will teach us and nourish us and develop us in the place that we're supposed to be. And we follow out the command of God. The words say, quench not. Quench not. That is a command to all of us, not just to the body, but to the head also. And if the head's sick, the whole body is sick. To every last one of us, we got so many strange fires around here in the atmosphere. How did they come about? They came about through the people of God being off guard, calling everything God, an unusual fire, but that I cannot identify that is of God's spirit, because I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. So I'm just letting everything in that say, Lord, Lord, an unusual fire, a strange fire, false religions. They suppress and they're very aggressive. They don't bring no deliverance. Idolatry, false worship, false praise. Those are what you call fire quenchers. All false religions are fire quenchers. You can't sing in the fire of God if God's fire is not in you. You're just a lying wonder, conjuring up a fire, pretending to be connected when you never was born again. Too many Nicodemus running around here. We need to jump up in the tree like Zacchaeus and get Jesus' attention. That's how much you want this fire. You'll do whatever it takes. You'll go to Esquimalt. You'll be like Esther. If I perish, let me perish. For I'm going to see the king. Amen. We're going to bring on Prophetess Chantel Coleman. Amen. And we're going to let God have his way in this woman of God. We got 44 minutes left on this show, but we know that there is a hidden word in this apostolic treasure. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God, Prophetess. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Praise God. Praise God, everybody.
Amen. Praise and praise him. Let God use you.
Yes, Lord. First off, I want to give honor to God. I'm just excited about being on the line. I'm just excited about releasing a word, just allowing God to use me as he is, because surely if he's not using me, then I am definitely quenching his spirit, because he definitely dwells within me. And so I just give thanks on today, and I'll just pray right now that it's not me that you guys hear tonight, that y'all hear God, and that it changed your life, and that he moves and begins to activate whatever is inside of you that you need to do to get moving, to start to please him, because surely it is not our will, but it's God's will.
Yeah.
And so I want to talk tonight. God was giving me different scriptures, and I just began to just be amazed, because as Apostle was saying earlier, if we not stand in our word like we supposed to, if we not praying like we used to, because we have that zeal and that fire when we first come in to get to know Christ. I mean, we want to surrender. We surrender all. Maybe something tragic happened to scare us out of our shoes into the arms of God, and we like, God, we want to stay there. And we can do it for weeks and weeks and months at a time, and then all of a sudden the enemy starts to see the enemy sees you as a threat when he starts to see consistency. When he starts to see endurance, he see you as a threat. So when we begin to get distracted, things start to happen. You know, we be like, oh, people we ain't talked to in years that we used to do the dirtiest of the dirt with, they begin to pop up. And we got to know the difference between an assignment and a distraction. And those things are coming to distract us, to get us off the path that we was going on. So then we call ourselves witnessing to these people and witnessing to these things and trying to help people out, but we really don't realize that we didn't turn on a whole wrong turn and then navigated somewhere else and left the Holy Spirit when he said, the focus is on me. We get to encouraging people, and we starting to do all these dead works. My God, we active, so active, but not effective. You know, we think we doing the will of God, but we doing the will for our own lives, because we want these people saved, we want these people delivered. But God is saying, you know, like Esther, she had to change and do a whole regiment before she was able to set her people free.
Yes.
She had to fast. She had to pray, and even the people thought that they didn't believe that she was one of her people, her kind, the Jews. They thought she was something else. And so we have to come out and be set apart when God is calling us into prayer. And I'm guilty of that too. And you know, I was about a week ago. I was just asking God. I said, God, you know, I don't feel you like I used to. You know, I was just telling God, I said, God, I hear you talking, but I just don't feel you like I used to. It's like you talking from afar, and, you know, it's a sad place, and I just began to cry out to him. And he just began to deal with me about the things that I was doing. I had a set schedule when I came into him. I mean, I couldn't wait to run to him. I just couldn't wait. I mean, it was like a kid that just met her father, or, you know, that missed somebody, and, you know, ooh, it's just so refreshing, and that's just everything that you want, and you're just running after. But see, that's just like with a car. When you first get a car, it may be a pre-owned car, my God, but when you get it fine-tuned and you're keeping the maintenance up on the car to run like it did when you just got it. So on tonight, I'm saying that you got the Holy Ghost. You can be saved and still be quenching the fire of God. If you ain't getting that oil change on that car like you should, that car going to start pooting and shaking and throbbing and everything else, and you going to swear that your car just, it ain't no more good. My God. But when you take it to the mechanic, they're going to say, well, ma'am, this is just what's wrong here. All it takes is a little bit of this to fix it. So God is saying it's going to take the things that you did before, the same maintenance that they was doing on that car before you got it, my God, and what you was doing when you got it, you got to keep doing it to keep the fire burning. So when you quench the Holy Spirit and quench, I had, you know, when God first began to deal with me with the word quench, I'm like, okay, quench, when I think about quench, I'm thirsty, okay? And I looked it up, and it says to put out or to suppress. My God, like, you know, you throw it, like if somebody throws some cover over your face, you know, they putting out your airways. You can't even breathe no more, and you panicking. And so that's what Holy Spirit is saying. I'm trying to talk to you. I'm moving all inside of you. You going left, and I'm steady buzzing, telling you, no, go right, and you still doing it your way. You quenching the Holy Spirit. And you know, we begin to, and it's just as simple, another example that I know everybody can relate to is when we have a situation to come up in our lives and we know the right way because it's in the Word. You know, we know the Scripture, and like Apostle said, it's easy to quote it because we can quote it, but when that time comes, it's hard to bring it back into remembrance and to walk it out. So we simply, when it comes to that time, we have to remind ourselves, okay, this situation has come about. Now, I know the corner way to handle this may be like let's say the you heard something happen to your child, or somebody jumped on your sister. Now, in the world, you would have ran and beat up somebody about your sister. But then you know that God said, you know, to pray and, you know, to give it over to him, and that cast your cares and your burdens upon him, for he cared for you. And so you're going to say, well, God, and God will bring that back into your remembrance when you say, when you got the Holy Ghost. He'll bring that back to your remembrance because I'm a living witness. But it's times when we get so mad and we get so set in our ways that we say, no, I'm saved, but I'm finna go set it off. You know, I'm going to go handle my business. And so we get up, and we going to do it our way, and the Holy Ghost is like, what? And so you didn't did all that wrong, and then after a while you keep doing the same things and you keep putting it off, and God is steady speaking, and he telling you, go pray, get up, and you like, oh, God, I'm tired. And, you know, we just putting God off, not getting no maintenance, not getting his affection, not allowing him to replenish us, because surely the fire of God comes in, it consumes, it cleans, it delivers. My God, it's the evidence of God's presence. And so when we begin to not feel him no more, we must know that we didn't quench the fire of God. The fire of God is dehydrated. It's almost not even there no more. You 2 seconds away from backsliding. And the Bible tells us it's better to have not known me than to know me and then backslide. So you better know Satan and his imps know when you didn't backslid, and they finna give you even more hell to keep the little Holy Ghost that you thought you had. So in the book of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and 16, if y'all got your Bibles, you can turn to it or you can just write it down. But I just feel like these are some scriptures that God gave me that I know is going to help the people tonight. It even helped me. But chapter 5. Mm-hmm. Verse 16, yes, and when the apostle started speaking on it tonight, I'm like, hold on. So surely the Holy Spirit is always on one accord. He's always confirming his word. And so when I heard him speak on Thessalonians, I said, wow, okay, God, okay. So chapter 5 says, be joyful. Chapter 5, verse 16 says, be joyful. And I'm just summing it up. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all things, for this is God's will. You know, we all have those times where we broke and we praying to God for some money. We just praising him. Lord, we need God, I need you to help me, and I need you to give. Lord, if you bless me, you help me get out of this, God, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to lead this stuff that I'm doing alone. Lord, I'm serious this time. And in the moment that God gives it to us, my God, we stop giving thanks in all things. We stop praying. We just forget about him. And then we didn't upset God. And then all this turmoil begin to happen after you broke or your money start to slide out of your hand as sure as you thought you had it. And you like, what is going on? And then you don't think about God until you broke again. And then you begin to say, God, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry. Can you help me? And see, one thing about God, he spoke this to me. He said, I said that I would never put more on you than you can bear. And he said when people think about that, they just think about troubles when it comes down to things of the physical, you know, that they think it's just about a problem or a situation. He said, but when I spoke that, I was talking about your finances and money too. He said, why would I give you $1,000 when I know you got a $100 mentality? So that means I know if you can't handle $100, you can't handle $1,000. You know, if you don't know what to do with $100 and you didn't went and bought all this stuff, your light bill due, all these things, you know, and we asking God for these things. We asking God for more of him, you know, more of anointing, but we're not paying our tithes. We're not blessing the sick, you know, we not helping. We not doing nothing that God has told us to do. We just straight got off the path that God has set us on, and the fire is gone. God is no longer with us. We hollering, God, you left me, but no, we love God. He been there the whole time. He been screaming. Yeah. He been hollering inside of you. Everywhere you look and everything you touch, everything is going bad. And God begins to confirm when his fire is gone because everything around you just seems to be going crazy. You be like, Lord, I thought I had favor, and then you start. I remember when I used to have favor 7 times a week. Now I'm only getting favor maybe once, and that's favor right there is a struggle. One thing about it, an apple tree don't have to struggle to produce apples. So when you begin to find yourself struggling to do the things that you know God gave you the gift to do, you have to wonder, is God still even preparing you, equipping you, pushing you, activating you? Or wondering if this is his will or mine will? And so when you step into what God is saying right now, I hear him saying right now, if you're going to come to me, be serious. Be for real. Don't let nobody push you to get saved and to start walking in ministry. And it don't start just by going to church and then, you start shouting, you know, you start feeling good. That don't mean you're ready. My God.
That's right.
You know you're ready when you begin to give up everything. That means if God says stop fornicating, you can stop fornicating. And people say, that's hard. Yes, it's hard, but it's hard when you're doing it in your own strength. But when you're saying, God, help me to do this. Lord, I don't want to hurt you no more. And God says, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. So when I read that, I didn't even see those words, but I heard God saying, I'm telling you that to don't say you love me if you ain't going to obey me.
That's right.
So I said that to a couple people so they can just understand that that scripture is more than a scripture. It's some revelation.
Yes.
It's God speaking behind it. God is saying, don't play with me.
Come on.
Don't even try it. Because,
Jesus.
See, you're doing all your works, but I'm looking at your heart. I'm looking at why you're doing it. So if we're going to God because somebody else wants us to go to God, that's the wrong thing to do. We got to be for real, y'all. We got to be for real. Because we would cause so much turmoil in our life. And see, Satan, he already assigned to us, him and his imps and pimps, and they already assigned to us. And we bring ourselves into something that we can't handle. Because if you ain't saved, if you want to be saved, if you want to be chosen, if you want to be preaching, you want the glory of all these things, you got to be willing to sacrifice. You got to be willing to pray when you want to cuss somebody out. You got to be willing to say, I love you, when your mind is telling you, I hate them.
Come on.
You got to be willing to just lay down your life and bear your cross to Jesus.
Yeah.
You got to crucify your flesh. And this is a daily thing. And I'm talking to myself, y'all. I ain't just talking to y'all. I'm helping myself even in this message. When Apostle told me what the message was, I had to ask her, what's the message? And when she said, I said, okay, God. Because, see, that's something he was talking to me 2 weeks ago. And I heard him.
Jesus.
But I'm like, Jesus, what I'm dealing with is real. It's real. That's what I told God. I said, what I'm dealing with is real, God. Huh. And he said, ain't I real? Ain't you saved? I'm like, yeah, Lord, but this thing right here, this heavy. I said, God ain't going to cuss nobody out, but I got to make some calls. I got to tell somebody. I got to, you know, and we go seek out everybody and everything but God.
Yeah.
That's a sign of quenching him too, quenching the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And he wants us to know that outside of his will, when we claim to be his, when we say that we say, when we say that we belong to him, our will is no more. We have to forfeit our will. We have to give up the things that we want for our life. We have to know that it can never go the way we want it to go. And it's just that simple, because it ain't going to work no more. God said, when you gave it to me, when you gave me them bags, I started to carry them. But when you started doing your own things, you was pulling them back from me. And that means you telling him, it's okay, God, I don't want your help. When you hear God telling you to love your neighbor, to do good to those who curse you and persecute you, when we tell God we don't want his help, we cutting him off. We quenching the fire of God. And then all of a sudden something bad happens. And then we begin to get right back in that place that we was before we even came into God and into Christ. So tonight is just so urgent, like in this hour, to just pray, to develop a prayer life. Should nobody be, we shouldn't be seeking out people more than we're seeking out God. God was telling me. God was telling me a couple of days ago. He said they worship me more corporately than they do personally.
He said
people have become their God. Social media, things. They're in love with things. They're so in love with the possessions. They're in love with the creation, but they dismiss the Creator. And I said, oh, God, Jesus, you know, because when he speak a thing, and that's what we have to learn, to not shoot the messenger. Because when God speak a thing, surely that vessel that he's speaking it to have to receive it first. And I'm like, Lord, how am I going to put this out here? You know, Lord, how am I? And he's like, you say it. And I'm like, you know, forgive me, Lord, in the midst of it all. Because I remember when I first got saved, I mean, everything I got, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. And you know what? Then it just became where either I get so busy, like I'm talking about the enemy is so crafty. Maybe I'll be about to go study and then my baby start crying or the kids in there fighting or anything. You know, it just gets you off course. Yeah. And then you sit down and you like, I was supposed to do that. You know, yes, God, understand, but you didn't want to sleep and everything. You didn't got you some peace and everything, and you still ain't got up and did what he told you to do earlier.
Jesus.
And he told me delayed disobedience is still disobedience. I mean, when you tell your child to go wash the dishes and they don't go right then, they still was disobedient because they didn't go when you told them to go do it.
And they still going
to get a punishment. Everything that we do, whether good or bad, y'all, is being accounted for.
Yes.
And so we got to make our words sweet, but our actions even sweeter. So we say we're going to do it. We got to do it, y'all. We got to go all out with it, too. I mean, because God is looking for us to worship him in spirit and in truth. And if we quenching the fire of God and we putting him out every time he's trying to correct us, he just sent you, somebody, God see you sinning, and you in a place where you can't even hear from him no more, and he just sent you somebody to counsel you, to lead you back to that place where you used to be, and you don't want to talk to him. You didn't cut him off. You didn't ignore them. That's quenching the fire of God also. Because you know you're doing wrong. What you hiding for? You know, it's just that simple. If we're not gonna go all the way with it, we don't need to play. Yes, we gonna have fallen. Yes, we gonna have shortcomings, but it's a difference in sinning on purpose and falling, slipping.
Yeah.
It's a difference. And so after we didn't quench God and we didn't smother the Holy Spirit and we didn't suppress the Holy Spirit, we didn't put the fire out. I mean, the fire burning, we just throw it in the water. After we didn't put the fire out, we back there, y'all. We back there doing the same thing that we used to do. And so that's why they say so-and-so that they doing what they used to do. That so-and-so back in the club. And, you know, we look at that they back in the club, but it's only a few things that could have happened to cause them to get right back there. They're not going to make up in their mind just to do it. They don't even see it coming. But see, when we stop being joyful, when we stop praying, when we stop giving thanks and everything for everything that God is doing in our life, we put ourselves in a place. When we stop being consistent, we put ourselves in a place to not hear from God, from not feeling God. So then God said he wants us back broken in that contrite heart where we was before we came to him.
Yes.
He wants us back there because it was in that broken place that he was able to get a hold of us, to actually get us to ourselves, where you had no more options, where nobody was answering the phone for you, nobody talking to you, your whole family then threw you into a trap. See, that's where God wants you. And, you know, God always remind me, when you find all these people flocking to you, you better start wondering. You better start wondering, because most of the time that means you didn't start compromising. Because one thing I learned, when you walking upright for God, it's going to be very few that flock to you. I'm telling you, because it's only a few of the remnant. It's only a few. And, you know, everything that look like God ain't God. It's people, they advertising, and they saying it's the Holy Ghost party, and the Holy Ghost not even welcome.
It's all so structured.
It's so structured that he can't even come in, my God. And if we was in our word like we should, we would know that the Bible tells us that the gift comes without repentance, y'all. So just know that they can be prophesied, but they can be doing it, and sometimes it's not in Jesus' name.
Come on.
The Holy Spirit ain't got nothing to do with it. That means God is saying, I'm a God that cannot lie. So even if I called you to be a prophet, if you're not flowing and being anointed by me, if it's not my spirit that's influencing it, it's still not me.
That's
so that means I'm not going to deny, the Holy Ghost is saying, I'm not going to deny myself because you're being disobedient, because you've been given free will.
Yes.
I'm not going to stray you back to the right because you're going left, because you now saved, you walking that thing out. You didn't say you surrendered. You didn't start being ministry-minded. You didn't start putting up your flyers. You didn't start doing all these things. But if Holy Ghost, if God ain't signing off on it, it's no good. It's non void. It's null. It's not effective. It's very much active and very much busy. It looks busy. It looks right, but it ain't right. So that's why we got to know people by their fruit, the fruit that they bear. Because if you starting all this trouble on 8th block, 9th block, and 10th block, surely the Holy Ghost ain't telling you to do that.
Say so.
There's no spirit of counsel working in you. You ain't never got an encouraging word, but you always prophesying. Who running your tongue?
Say so.
Like, seriously.
Say so.
Who running your tongue? Who telling you to speak? You know, so, I mean, I'm just learning so much day by day. And, I mean, we can never know enough. And the word is such a living word. It's like every day when we read something in the Bible, it's changing our hearts. It's changing our hearts. It's changing our minds. And God wants our life put on the line as a sacrifice, a living sacrifice. Because, see, in the Old Testament, sacrifices were burnt offerings before the Lord. And, see, God wanted to consume them, to change them, and to give them something new. That's why they were sacrificing things. So it's a give and take. It's an even exchange there.
Yes,
so you give your life to God. He said whoever wants a life in Christ have to first lose his. So you got to lose your life first, your will. You can't do things the way you want to do them no more. You can't say, God, I don't want to do this, or God, I don't want to talk to her. I used to be into it with her all the time. No, if God is saying get it right, get it right. It don't mean you got to kiss nobody's butt, because that's the way some of us think. It don't mean you kissing nobody's butt. It just means that you having peace. Because see, when we cause people to have us angry and bitter, we didn't stop living, y'all, and they still living.
Yes.
You know, and they like, well, they gotta come back to me first. Know what? They haven't came back to you in all this time, baby. They ain't coming. It's time for you to make that move. It's time for you to do what God is telling you to do. I don't know. That ain't God telling me to do that and that girl that jumped me and my cousins and my friends, too. You know, it's just so many things that we come up with that the enemy influences us to come up with simply because he don't want us to be in the will, y'all. He don't want us to please God. He don't want us to walk by faith and not by sight, because, see, that thing look like people going to laugh at you for getting it right with somebody that you once hated. You know, people, and you know, I have to use this because God has given me, my God, people, you know, I mean, when I went through what I went through as a child, and when I went through molestation and everything like that, God, I can't even explain what God is, y'all. He's so good. My God, he's so good to us. I can't even explain. I can't even explain what he did to me, y'all, in the midst of what I was going through. But I was that child who was searching for God, and I was wondering, if God, are you real? Because I'm going through so much, God. Like, if you real, why you won't take my life? If you see what I'm going through hell. Why you won't just take me out of here? And see, God is so great, because in the midst of all of that, I didn't want to live, but I didn't want the people that was hurting me to die. But it was, you know, it was something that was that was inside of me. I was able to still love the people in spite of what they did to me. Something like Jesus, y'all. You know, the people wronged him. Judas, you know, he was nothing good of a friend. He declared and just said it and tried to show himself approved with his works that he was the best thing that Jesus ever had as a friend, and he wasn't. And see, Jesus was still able to love them, to wash their feet, you know, to still be there. And I asked myself, well, people wonder, how is she able to forgive, you know, her stepdad? How is she able to still talk to him after what he did to her? How is she, you know, and the carnal minds don't even understand it, y'all. And to be honest, I didn't understand it when I was, you know, when I was a kid or growing up, and I was still angry. I didn't understand it either, but hey, I felt like I was crazy. But see, God had to let me know you wasn't crazy. But it was the Spirit of God was up on you, and before you was planted into your mother's womb, I knew you. You were already mine. Your steps were ordered. So if my Spirit dwelleth up in you, I'm the reason that you would do the things that you do. I will cause you to do things that other people would doom as crazy. They'll call it crazy. It don't make no sense. Or she lying because she's able to talk to this man, hug this man, love this man in spite of what she's saying that he's doing to her. I can love you and still tell my testimony with you included in it. I can still love you because you know what? It's my freedom. I got to get free. So what we doing when we forgiving people and when we loving people in spite of, it's not for them. It's for us.
Yeah.
Had I loved in spite of, I would still be lost, y'all.
Me too.
I would still be broken. And I probably would still be in the same predicament that I was in. But you know what? I tell myself all the time, I don't know how I got through it, but God, it's like God carried me through it. Because some of the stuff that happened to me, when God bring it back to my remembrance, I'd be like, Lord, I forgot about that. But I'm telling you, when I say he renewed my mind and the fire, God, the evidence, the proof, not just the speaking in tongues, my God, but just being able to live again. The thoughts may come back, all those things. But when you praying and when you prayed up and, you know, when you being thankful, when you embracing the people that hurt you, you can't help but to walk in what God called you to walk in. You can't help but to do it because you're not denying him then. You're doing what he's called you to do. You're doing what he's equipped you to do. But when you cut God off, there go your dreams. There go them nightmares coming back. There go them same spirits that was telling you you hate so-and-so or you hate yourself. There goes depression again, things you ain't dealt with in years.
Yeah.
Because you didn't cut God off in the work that he was doing in you because he was performing a great work. And it's still a great work inside of you. You just got to get it back right. You just got to begin to do those things that you was doing before you came to him or the day you said, I surrender. When you said, I'm going to give up my car, my house. God, I give it all up. Lord, I stop cussing. Lord, I stop fornicating. Lord, I stop being disobedient. Lord, I'll stop doing everything. You have to get back to that place. And in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, this is the last thing I'm going to say. I'm going to give the scripture of Hebrews out, too, about God being an all-consuming fire because it talks about God's presence being evident. In the book of Philippians, chapter 4, in verse 7, it says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, and whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So when those thoughts come back to haunt you, when them thoughts tell you ugly, you ain't no good, or your man ain't no good, he a liar. When the devil try to come, the accuser, brethren, when he try to come and spit those things in your ear, we have to set our mind on what is lovely, what's admirable. And we got to reverse those thoughts. My husband is good. I'm pretty. I'm beautiful. I am the woman God called me to be. We have to begin to cast down those things and try to exalt themselves above the name of God. Because truly your thoughts ain't more powerful than God, so why let them manifest and just live and lie dormant in your life? Those things should not be. We shouldn't do that. So, you know, even I have to tell myself when the enemy try to speak things to me and try to get me to think that I'm a victim or that I'm not healed, I'm declaring a decree and healing over my life even when I don't feel it. Sometimes we got to speak it even when we don't feel it. When in the moment the enemy tell you sound crazy, that's when you really know you in it because he's telling you sound crazy. So we got to call those things that are not as if they are. So if you didn't lost your place in God on tonight, start speaking that I am saved, I am set free, I am delivered. God, I am still chosen. I am still everything that you said I would be that was already orchestrated before the foundation of this world. God, I am that, and I will walk in it. It is so. Amen and amen and amen. I mean, we just got to call it forth.
Amen.
So I hope y'all was encouraged on tonight, and truly this is not nothing that I planned, but I thank God because I know that his will is being done. So y'all be blessed and just love God and continue to do the things that you used to do to keep it fresh. Whatever it is, your maintenance, go get it right with God. Take yourself back into that spot, back to God's shop. And it may not be quick. He may not do it overnight, but if you begin to stay consistent, he'll be consistent with you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. We praise God for prophetess Chantel Coleman, how God was just using her to identify some things that is causing us a gap between us and God. See, God never moved. It was us that moved. Some of us like to get bipolar on God and get all schizophrenic. Well, God, you said you'll never leave me nor forsake me. Okay, well, hold up. Hold up right there. Because one thing you need to understand, that God said, I promise you, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, you left me. It's just like a wife. She left her good husband for some Jack Daniels 2020, 50-50, whatever you want to call it tonight. You allowed that to come in. So, amen, we praise God for the woman of God, how God was using her very swiftly, very quickly, very strongly. She was identifying some things through the Spirit of God that quenches God's spirit. In other words, it stinks in his nostrils. All sin stinks in God's nostrils. And if it stink in God's nostrils, it should stink in our nostrils. But the reason why it don't stink in some of our nostrils is because we enjoy the smell, because that's what's in us. Come on now, saints. It is so vital, it is so mandatory, it is so important that we as God's people, we stop quenching the Spirit of God. As the woman of God was talking, God was showing me how a lot of his people, they are wrapped up in these little fables saying they favorite hat. Bring them luck. Rabbit foot. A rabbit foot didn't die for me.
Amen.
It was Jesus Christ. Come on, saints. These little glitches and stuff that is not holy. These little sayings that are not of God. My favorite wig. I don't care how much you comb it and spread and fix it all kinds of ways. This wig here, bring me luck. You quenching the Holy Spirit. You don't put a wig that don't have life in it. Come on now. Before God. My favorite pair of tennis shoes. Them tennis shoes and die for you and rose on the third day. The Bible says if your right eye fit me, plug it out. Just what it meant. So to be casting hell with both eyes. Jesus. So what I'm saying tonight is just so important that we pay attention to ourselves. Stop looking at other people. That's what quenches the Spirit of God too. We too busy pointing our finger. Well, you know, that reminds me of brother, what's his name, and sister so-and-so. And ooh, they got the most baddest children. And your children, what's up? Worry about what's in people's bank account. Worry about how people having sex together, how they do it. I'm talking to church folks. The Holy Spirit is talking to church people, busybodies, all these things that quench the Spirit of God. The Bible said, learn how to mind your own business. Worry about who this man going to marry, or if the prophet going to marry me, or if the prophet is going to marry me. Foolishness. These are the foolish virgins' behavior traits. This is what foolish virgins do. Always up in the Kool-Aid and don't even know the flavor that they're drinking. Drinking out of anybody's cup, slipping and sliding. Well, amen, we got like 7 minutes, amen, and we got Prophet Jeffrey on the phone. We're going to let him say a few words. Amen, I tell you, this man of God, he loves God. I'm not saying that because I know him. It's because I know his spirit, because that's the real person that I'm looking at, that inner man. Come on, the real McCoy. Come on, Prophet Jeffrey, let God use you. Amen.
Of the Lord on tonight for my being on the line. I truly enjoyed the woman of God, my God, from Zion. that woman of God, she was very accurate on everything that she was saying, and I just thank God for the word that went forth through her. And this is the season where the fake and phony is going to be shown up. You know, God's pulling the cover up off the fake folks. And you know, God is showing them for who they really are. Because a title don't move a person. Come on, by
Come on.
A title don't really move nobody when somebody is hurt.
Jesus.
When somebody is wounded, when somebody is wounded, I don't need to see your title. I need you to help me to heal my wound. Yes, sir. I need my wound healing. I need my wound healed when I'm hurt. Church hurt. You know, I just thank God. I appreciate the Lord on tonight. I thank God for the woman of God, prophetess. Thank God for you, and I thank God for you, prophetess. I just appreciate the Lord for you both.
Amen, Prophet Jeffrey. Jeffrey, I tell you, from the time that I met you, I knew that God had his hands on you, and I knew that the Spirit of God was very active in your belly. So, you know, it's just so powerful, something that you just said. You know, I'm wounded and I'm hurt, but the only thing that you can show me is your title, that is your idol. So as you were speaking, I just began to see a lot of church people that have just been just hurt just from somebody worshiping their title and too busy to see my wounds, too busy to see my hurt, too busy to see my low self-esteem. Even when I'm behind closed doors and I'm feeling nutty and I'm feeling fruity, Jesus, you can't relate to me because you have not been assigned to me. And this type of stuff right here, it quenches the Holy Spirit.
It quenches the Holy Spirit.
We got people right now in the body of Christ, and I'm speaking apostolically, and I'm speaking to the very hurt that is hurting you. And you've been hurting for years, and you've been wanting to take yourself out. But because of you thought about your children, it would be a selfish act for you to take your life. You've been dealing with these demons for so long. But because of who you've been up under all of these years, they just have been glorifying themselves. They've been getting the fruity pebbles. And you just been getting dry straws. They've been eating high on the hog. And you just been eating the pig feet. You've been suffering. So we thank God for that insight that Prophet Jeffrey, God used his mouth to uncover that, because there's some pain on this phone. And there's some people don't want people to know that they're in pain, because they feel like if I let you in my room, or if I let you in this dungeon that I've been in for so long, you just might hurt me even the more. Well, we're going to wrap it up. It's going to be a part three to stop quenching the Spirit of God. And there's just so many ways that people quench the Spirit of God, not being in a position like they ought to be, acting like they be unsaved, and acting like they are big-time rapper. Yeah, we talk about church people, how they carry on. They acting like the world. They acting like they got 25 goals in their mouth, and they head flip to the side and hear people over here die.
Jesus, my God.
You want to be Cadillac Bone? You want to be Cadillac Bone? But here's a soul right here.
Jesus.
You say you love God whom you have never seen.
Come on here.
And you
don't love your brother. My God.
You see him every day. You quench in the spirit. You's a liar and the truth ain't in you.
Oh, my. He got my nails in.
See, you got it.
Yes.
God loves his people. He loves his people. And if you are called to lead God's people, you do it God's way. Stop all that flashing. Acting like you a celebrity.
Jesus.
Oh, yes.
Jesus, everything.
I was on this, and I'm gonna wrap it up. I was on this prayer line yesterday, and they want you to announce your name when you come up there. And it was late last night, and God just gave me wisdom out there. I'm not saying nothing. And the man was—he was on the phone, and he asked whether I had been the leader of the prayer line. And he was in his flesh from the beginning, just calling his thing out. The flesh must die, like Prophet Jeffrey say.
Yeah.
And he had to holler so much and preached in the phone until the people that was on the line with him, they had to help him get some water and stuff. I said, now look at this.
Oh, my God.
You
in
the spirit.
No,
look here.
My God, flesh trying to glory.
Every time you was walking heavy in the spirit, you ain't got time for no natural water. You're flowing in an apostolic river.
Yeah.
And the Holy Ghost is the one that is nurturing you as you go forth in power.
That's it.
So all I'm saying tonight, people be on these lines, they be faking the making, they be shaking and faking, and ain't none to them. Ain't none to them. So we thank God for Prophetess Chantel Coleman coming in like a mighty warrior, operating like the Spirit tell her to, doing what God say do. I encourage you to keep moving forward. Prophet Jeffrey, I thank God for you coming in the last minute. God always saves the best for last. And I thank God for this subject on tonight. It'll be a part three, amen. And so we're looking forward to God just doing what he always do, and that's be God. So everybody be blessed, and just know and understand that when you do it God's way, and stop calling people that don't have his way, then you won't be confused, discombobulated. Do it God's way and keep it that way. God bless you.
God bless you.
How many of you know that the anointing destroys the yoke? The anointing breaks every chain. That's the power of the Holy Ghost.